On a recent sunny afternoon on Lake Michigan, people are enjoying the cool waters of Warren Dunes State Park, despite a large red flag flying above the crowd. The flag means no swimming due to dangerous currents. But the park has no lifeguards, so there's no one to enforce the ban. And Pam Schutz of Illinois and Ryan Sincroft of Indiana still plan to go into the lake.
We know there's no lifeguards, so we kind of police each other and kind of keep tabs on where they are. We just won't go that far, so we don't have to worry about the riptides or anything like that.
Especially since the red flags are up and we've heard the warnings, you know, we're kind of playing it cautious today. So, I mean, obviously, a lifeguard would be ideal, but I understand the cost and everything associated with that too.
None of the Great Lakes is well represented in terms of having lifeguards trained for rescues in dangerous currents. The United States Life Saving Association, which certifies open water lifeguard agencies around the country, only has 33 Great Lakes chapters. The association's Tom Gill says that's not enough.
Any beach that is publicized as a tourist destination where they're collecting revenue from people that are coming there, we feel there's a responsibility to protect the people that are going to those beaches.
The Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project tries to increase the safety of beachgoers by holding water safety trainings for people of all ages, even 3- and 4-year-olds.
We show pictures of animals and we learn from the animals.
Bob Pratt is the organization's executive director.
In the springtime, you'll see ducklings and you'll see a whole, you know, family of ducklings always staying very close to their mother, especially when there might be danger around.
Coast Guard units play a role in education too, sending teams into schools to explain how to survive a powerful current. And then there's the effort to get surfers, kayakers, and non-swimmers to pay attention to what's going on around them. The Surf Rescue Project says everyday objects that float, things like footballs or plastic coolers, can be used to help people struggling against a dangerous current. For someone caught in a rip current, the worst thing to do is fight it. The key is to flip over onto your back, float, and follow the current until a rescue team arrives. Pratt says flip, float, follow is easy to understand and similar to another safety slogan.
You grab any one of the elementary age kids from the beach and ask them what to do if their clothing catches on fire. They will yell out, stop, drop, and roll. Ask them what to do if they get in trouble in the water, and you will hear mumbling and silence.
Some beaches have signs to explain what a dangerous current is and flags to prohibit lake use in hazardous conditions. But it's difficult to know what prevention tactics are working and who's even listening. Pratt says the beachgoers who pay attention to those signs are the ones who probably understand the dangers already. It's like preaching to the choir, he says. As far as the perfect solution, Pratt has an idea.
Lifeguards at all of our public beaches. Combine that with water safety curriculum in our school system, and I think we would see a very dramatic decrease in the number of drownings that happen on the Great Lakes.
According to the Great Lakes Dangerous Current Incident Database, there's an obvious target audience. Drowning victims are 80% male, and half of the drownings happened near a structure, like a pier. Despite the safety measures, Pratt says the number of drownings in the Great Lakes is up compared to last year. In 2016 bears a similarity weather-wise to 2012, when the Surf Rescue Project tallied 101 deaths, many of them due to dangerous currents. For Great Lakes Today, I'm Elizabeth Miller.